Hello everyone, I'm The Touring, and I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Lore of the Apocalypse, where I will explore the lore of Werewolf the Apocalypse. With version 5 of Werewolf and a few official Werewolf video games all around the corner, I thought it was a great time to refresh my memory on over two decades of lore and invite others along for the ride. If you like what I'm doing or have any questions, feel free to hit me up on either Twitter or Patreon, where I'm at @the_touring, T-O-E-R-I-N-G. I think that's about enough of an intro, so thanks for listening, and let's get to it. Good evening, young one. Have a seat by the fire with me while we have a little chat. First off, you can just call me the old man. I'm here to fill you in on the basics of your new life and the whole new world that goes along with it. I'm sure someone's already told you, but if they haven't, congratulations, you're a werewolf. But not the kind you're probably thinking about. I'm going to start with one simple request. Forget all the bullshit you've seen in the movies, comic books, and TV. The vast majority of that shit is complete and utter garbage, and trusting in any of it will just lead you into trouble. With that out of the way, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You're here with me because you've gone through your first change, something every single one of us has done. Some of us lose it in the middle of an argument and our blood is up, others when we fall and skin a knee, still others get hit by a car or some other shit. However it happens, it tends to be around the time we hit puberty. Just like everything else, our hormones are going full bore and our bodies already in flux. Something within us snaps, and the next thing we know, we're a giant wolf-man hybrid fucking shit up left and right. If you're lucky, it happens when nobody is around. If you're not so lucky, you kill somebody. If you're really, really unlucky, you kill someone you love or even your whole family. Anyway, you stack it, the life and world you knew before is no more. The new world you're entering is scary as shit, but you're not doing it alone. I'm here to teach you, and eventually you'll have a pack of your own. Much like a wolf pack, you'll function as a family unit, keeping each other safe and adding your strengths to theirs. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's start with the basics. You're a werewolf, or as we call ourselves, a garu. We are creatures of duality and balance. We're part man and part wolf. Little piece of us coming from both worlds. Material that you see around you and the spiritual world that we'll get into later. We're not cursed, infected with some disease, or using some spell or magical item. We're born this way. You can't pass it along biting somebody, but if you have any children, they can turn too. Somewhere down the line. We don't change into mindless killing machines during a full moon, although the moon does play a big part in who we are, and if you're not careful, you can lose yourself to a frenzy, is what we call it. I think that just about covers the pop culture stuff that's wrong, and now onto the much shorter list of what they got right. We can shapeshift, and silver hurts like hell. And that's about all they got right. So that's pretty much fun. Have fun out there. Oh, that's not enough? You want to learn more? Good. I'm glad you want that, because I've got a whole lot more to say. The Garu are Gaia's warriors. Amazing how that works, isn't it? We're her greatest children and fiercest defenders. Whether you were born as a human or wolf or that thing in between, you go through the first part of your life just like everybody else. But once you go through your first change, you're no longer like everyone else. From that point on, you're forever changed. Your body torn up and put back together, just like it was before, but somehow different. You're not Steve Rogers getting a shot and turning into Captain America, but it's pretty fucking close. You can turn into an 8-foot-tall mountain of muscle, and that shit takes a lot of energy. So, you're probably going to notice that you're suddenly craving a whole lot of meat. Being a werewolf is the best diet you could ever hope for, as your body will turn pretty much anything you put into it to muscle instead of fat. So, eat up. Another thing you're probably going to notice is that you're a lot tougher than you used to be. I'll go into all the forms you can take later, but for now, just know that when you're in any you weren't born in, you'll heal crazy fast. And unless it's silver, of course. That shit does a number on us. Something about being pure. You know what? I'm not going to go too deep into it right now. We'll cover that later. Our healing capabilities go beyond a mere acceleration of the natural healing process. Our wounds don't usually scab over or form scar tissue. Cuts pull themselves shut and smooth over. Mangled flesh straightens itself, realigns severed blood vessels, and re-knits the very muscle that it was. This is true regeneration of damaged or destroyed tissue, restoring the body to its undamaged state. As cool as this sounds, though, be warned, this shit hurts. I like to say it's like being wounded in reverse, but a lot slower. A regenerating injury feels like the wound is full of angry, red-hot hornets, stabbing the shit out of you every such second that it's out there. The sensation is too intense for the word itching to do it justice, nor is the heat sensation imaginary, as the temperature of a regenerating injury spikes enough to throw off steam outdoors in the winter. Hell, I've heard some of our kind having limbs hacked off with swords and being able to reattach the piece that got cut off. I can't even imagine how much that would hurt, so if you have it happen to you, you'll have to give me a full report. The next big thing we'll cover is probably the thing that most represents being a werewolf. Shapeshifting. We got five forms that we can take, starting with, the one that you were probably born in, or more specifically, the one that you're in right now. Hamid, or human. It's the form of man. And while it's physically the weakest of our forms, you'll probably spend the majority of your time in it. The greatest advantage of this form is, of course, social. It's really hard to talk when you've got a snout, and, well, the world is overrun with humans. Being able to look like them when interacting with them is not only incredibly useful, but flat-out required for survival. While you can run through the streets of a city as a wolf, it's going to draw a whole lot of attention, and you don't want that. The next form we'll talk about is Glabro, or Near Man. Big, heavy, sturdy, ugly, and strong. This form is like turning into some sort of de-evolved caveman. When you shift into this form, you'll find that you've grown a couple of inches and put on a good bit of muscle as well. You'll find that you don't have quite the dexterity you used to, but that's more than made up for by the strength and stamina you'll gain. Add on the fact that you've got claws, fangs, and better low-light vision, and you've got a form that's good for wilderness survival, but not so great for wandering around a city. The third form that we can take is called Krenos, and it's the form you probably took upon your first change. 8, 9, or even 10 foot tall, the Krenos form is built for one thing and one thing only. Killing. Killing those that would injure Gaia with its muscles like steel cables and bones of granite. Huge hands tipped with long, curving, razor-sharp claws against which even steel stands no chance. And a mouth full of teeth that crush flesh and bone to a pulp. When you take this form, you'd better mean business, and like pointing a gun at someone, it should only be used when you intend to destroy. While you're in this form, you're going to notice that humans react strangely. Some will stand in stunned silence as their minds try to rationalize what their eyes are seeing. Others will flee in terror, while others still will react with blinding violence. I'll get into why this happens later. For now, just know that we call it the delirium, and you should only shift into Krenos form when you absolutely need to kick some ass. Next, you've got the Hispo form, where Glabro is near man, Hispo is near wolf. Like a prehistoric wolf or dire wolf from myth, this form is like a huge wolf with heavily corded muscles and thick, heavy fur for protection. Heavy jaws set with huge, dagger-like canines with a thick, muscled neck and shoulders behind them, granting more biting pressure than even a crocodile, and the sheer power needed to rip flesh and bone apart with a shake of the head. While wolf-like in overall appearance, there's no way that this nearly 6-foot-at-the-shoulder form will be mistaken for a simple wolf. In dim light, it might be mistaken for a small bear, right up until it moves with speed. Finally, we come to Lupus, or wolf form. Fast, noble, low to the ground, and with senses that make being an hobbit like being blind and deaf. This is the form for hunting in the wilderness. In this form, you can see in near total darkness, spot movement from a half mile away, and hear things that are far beyond a human senses. And then there's the sense of smell. The first time you shift into Lupus, it's like a whole other world opens up. There's really no way to explain the intricacies of what you'll smell. Well, using your eyes and your ears, things are either within your vision or without, or making sound or not. But with scent, you can track something blindly in the blackest of night, as long as you stay downwind of them. Well, conversely, you may be upwind of it and be able to see it plain as day, but not smell it at all. It's something that takes a little bit of practice, but is absolutely amazing to experience once you get the hang of it. The long and short of it is that moving in Lupus is fast and quiet. When in this form, you can easily run down someone fleeing on a bicycle or even in a car limited by city streets. But where it really shines is in cross-country travel. A werewolf in Lupus can go places that someone even the most hardcore off-road vehicle only dreams of, all while being nearly silent. There's really something to be said about donning the wolf form and going bounding and howling through the wilderness. It has a certain exhilarating sense of freedom which appeals to even the most thoroughly urban hobbit. It feels strangely like coming home. There's still a lot more to go into, but based on your heavy eyelids, I think I've talked enough for one night. Why don't you tuck in? Sleep tight, and don't let the worm bite.
That's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you again for my next installment of Lore of the Apocalypse. Until then, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or Patreon, where I'm the_Toring.